Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
670 The Score's Mullinhaw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullinhaw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ. What a play, Ian Happ, into the ivy.
And Dakota Mekas.
6'7", 250-pound Mekas. Swing and a miss, struck him out, struck him out, struck him out.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 277 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parse. Go to your closest Benny's. Best thing that you can do for playoff baseball is to drink Parse Rum. That everybody knows that. That's a fact. We're hand-delivering a jersey this week because we had a little snafu with the Postal Service. That's the kind of things that we do. We go to lengths to get Parse jerseys in people's hands. Tom knows. I know. Dakota knows. That's how we do it here at the Compound. What do you guys want to start with? I know we want to talk a little bit about playoff stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about you guys.
Bears. Oh, I was going to say the Bears are back.
Nope, we're not going to football. We're keeping the show on the rails early here. We're staying in baseball since it is the week before the playoffs start. And you guys clinched in Pittsburgh. You had a pretty big game in the clinching game and caught the final out. Pretty cool moment. Yeah.
You also got choked up in your post-game interview. Don't do that to me. You got me choked up. You can't do that.
It hit me. It hit me. It was a long 3 days in Pittsburgh. I think just the games were long. We were playing, you know, kind of tight games. And
that clinching game, by the way, was the fifth longest game you guys have played the whole year and the longest since like May 1st or something.
Felt like it. We played a 2 hour and 50 minute game that felt like it was 4 hours one of the days. But yeah, that was a long one, that last one. And, you know, it felt like we went up 4-0 in the first. Felt like we were just going to, like, blow through that game and kind of an easy clinch. And then it got tight. And then, you know, we came back. We will end up winning 8-4 or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, that last ball came to me and I caught it. And I didn't know what the on-field celebration was going to be. I didn't know if guys were going to – and, you know, I just kind of – I had a moment there where I walked down the stairs before I went back up to do the interview, and just when you see the staff celebrating like that, you know, everybody's hugging each other, and you think about the people that have been here for the whole thing. You know, obviously we have a bunch of new staff members on the coaching staff.
I said train, like all the trainers that have been there forever.
Yeah. I mean, John Maley, you know, was here in 15, 16, 17 and saw that. But, you know, the training staff who's been here forever, PJ Mainville, Nick Frangella, Nate Whitney, our PT, has been here since 18. just some of those guys that have been through the whole up and down with the team, and have seen that, you know, to with Nico and with Dansby and with JMO and with those guys, and then with Ensea, and then with the group that has put together this year, you know, just kind of all those things coming together. Counts a second year, his staff, you know, I think everything kind of just hit me in that moment that we were, you know, you got the fans with the W flag right above the dugout, you know, they're so happy, and just kind of what it means to be back in the playoffs. And you know, we're 152 games in at that point, when we clinch something like that. And it's just like, man, the whole thing kind of hits you that like you've worked all year for this, and you know, we've done it the last couple of years, been close, but to finally be able to pop that champagne and be back there. You know, one of the most impactful things on me in 2017, we clinched the division in St. Louis and got to do that for the first time. John Lackey looked at me and said, "Hey, cherish this. You know, you never know when you're going to be back." And as a young player, I heard him.
You're probably like, "Oh, we'll be back. We do this every year."
I heard him, but I was like, "We got a really good young team. And this really good young team is going to do a lot of this." And we didn't pop bottles in 18 because we thought we were going to wait until we won the division. That ended pretty abruptly. Didn't get to do it in 20 because of COVID. And so, you know, it had been since 2017 since I had been able to have that celebration in a clubhouse. And so, you know, since we beat DC in the DS. So it had been a long time. And just the ups and downs of, you know, trading everybody away, 22 season, being close in 23 and 24, like all of those things that have gone into it. It was just pretty, pretty special moment, and just kind of 9 years of things coming back together.
I also loved like the on-field part of how like it wasn't anything like crazy. Like obviously guys were pumped and like it was just like a lot of hugs, but no like big celebration on the field. I'm also like, you talked about it, obviously COVID was a different year, but like popping champagne for making the playoffs, like I don't think anyone can ever look down on that, just because like it's such a grind in baseball. Like you talked about, after 17 you thought you'd make the playoffs every year, and it's like, well, then baseball happened. It's a pretty tough sport to make it to the playoffs in. So like it's one of those where teams should always celebrate that accomplishment, because it's so hard to do every year. So like the fact you guys got there was definitely worth celebrating, and it looked like quite the party in the locker room after. I saw the clip of Shota, which got me good. He's like, "I've learned that it's not like you don't need to drink champagne. You can soak it in through your skin. It's much better."
Yeah. And just like the young guys getting to do it for the first time, getting a taste of that. I think it's really important for young players to get to feel that. I know that it was for me, you know, getting to do it my rookie year, it just kind of affirmed that like, the only thing that matters is winning. And it's just so much more fun. Like winning and being a part of a winning team is like so, so important. And when you can do that and you can do it with a group, like it doesn't get any better. It lets you know how important and like special winning is in Chicago, like for this fan base. It's really, you know, incredible. And I think so for young guys to get to do it, for guys like Saya and Shota, who've been here for a few years, to finally get to do that. It was the first time Brad Keller had been able to do it in his career. That's a pretty cool one. You know,
Dan, I guess you guys also have a bunch of like 36, 37-year-old guys in the back end of that bullpen who I'm sure, you know, Pomerantz have been on the league for 3 years. I'm sure those kind of guys think maybe that was never going to happen for them again. So you can kind of see all that emotion coming out in a moment like that. Whereas like anyone who criticizes teams for doing that always says to me like, "Oh, you've never been around a team." Because if you've been around a team like this, you understand what a release of emotion that is. And like, as Dakota said, that's 152 games and how many days, you know, 240 days of emotion built into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, cool. it makes you want the next one more, you know, makes you want to pop a champagne again. I want to do this again. I want to do it again. You know, we get, you know, you make it to through the World Series, you get to do four more of these things. Like when you think about that, like, hey, we get to do this kind of celebration again and again. I remember, you know, when we beat DC to win the DS, it was game five, it was the last game of the series. It was a really up and down game, full of emotion. And it was tight, but I felt like we celebrated for 5 hours after that one. Like it felt like it never ended. It felt like we were just popping champagne and drinking Bud Heavies all night. And like, those memories of like those things are so cool. Like that you don't can't recreate that. Like it's everything
you
guys
had,
for.
And you had like a flight right after, which is actually almost even better because you get to just continue on. Like, it's not like guys are like, all right, like I should probably go home. It's like, you're just getting onto a team flight with everyone still drinking and still like just having fun. And predictably the boys got one hit the next night. I do have beef with C-Ray because either he just pitches better hungover or he didn't drink enough because he had his best outing of the year through 7 innings, 11 punchies, which was sick.
Sick. Yeah.
I mean, the next day
one hit. I don't know that it was, you know, people say that like predictably, like he was just really good. Hunter Green was just really, really good.
But I mean, I'd love to see a stat of like teams the game after clinching.
What
how like they did the next day. Like the boys aren't feeling the best heading to the yard. You shouldn't be.
Yeah, it was nice to have the do it on a day game and do a getaway.
C-Ray had to be the one guy in the building though that was like, just hold on, come on, Pirates, win this one, because like that's got to be the worst if you're the next day starter, right? Because like you can't really go the way you'd probably want to go because you're like, I gotta make sure I'm ready.
C-Ray's from Iowa though. I'm sure he did this like in high school. I'm sure this is just like a normal thing. And C-Ray's my guy, so that's why I said not talking about it. I love C-Ray. And that was cool to see him go and shove.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, our pitching staff did a great job in Cincy. They were awesome. Bats were not quite awake. But, yeah, I think you hit that emotional high. And it was also a 10-game stretch with no off days in September can be tough. You know, we were on the road in Atlanta for 3, came home for just 3, which was really like 2.5 days because it was Friday, Saturday, and then out on Sunday, and then went back on the road for 7. So of the last 2 weeks, we've been on the road for 10 days with only one off day in there. So getting this off day today, being able to reset, it will be really nice.
We need the boys to clinch home. I was looking at it. I wish it was on the weekend so bad. I hate that it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Scared of football. Hold on. Before switch the subject, I want
to... I wasn't going to switch it. I was going to say I needed them to be on the weekend so I could go to a game, which I still... We'll see. We'll see if I could finagle it. But they're 2-0 when I'm in the stadium. They need me.
I wanted to ask Ian, though, you also gave a little bit of a speech before you guys popped open the champagne. That had to be kind of cool to be the guy in that moment that got to kind of address the team.
He's been there for 20 years. That's a good thing. It's a compliment. It's a compliment.
It was cool. Yeah, it was really cool to be able to do that. I think I was talking pretty fast, but it was cool to be able to just say a few words and start the party.
Well, it's probably when you're talking fast because you're like, don't get choked up. Don't get choked up in front of the boys.
Yeah. It was half don't get choked up and let's get to people are just waiting to pop the champagne.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what I will say? I didn't love my champagne popping. It needs work. I really didn't. I wasn't getting a good seal. I wasn't getting a good spray going. It was like I would pop it, and then I couldn't get like the spray across the whole room, like the really firm. I just wasn't getting it. And so next time, you know, we're gonna do this a couple more times. But you got to pop it. You got to put your thumb over it, get a good shake going, and then you can really direct traffic. And that's what I was missing. My real move is the double beer pour. I like that one. A couple of butt heavies on somebody's head. I was really capitalizing on those.
Well, you were a little out of practice, and you're also more of like a fine wine guy, so you're not popping that and shaking it. So you're more just like, oh, we got to let it breathe a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
Were you a goggles guy?
Nope, no goggles. Feel the burn.
Oh, he said, I want the burn.
I want the burn.
That's kind of crazy, but I respect it.
When you guys leave the clubhouse before you get on the plane, is there like a shower? What do you guys like? Are you just sticky on the plane? Because that's
Yeah, you get a full shower in. Just like you would any other day. You get a full shower in, but it is my 94-year-old grandmother was at the game, and my aunt, and so I had to leave the celebration for a couple minutes to say goodbye to them. I did change my shirt. That's why you see me in a couple different shirts in the photos, because I had to take my October baseball shirt off, launch that, and put a fresh shirt on so that I could. My pants are still full of champagne and beer, but I had to go give her a hug and say goodbye. And so I needed a clean shirt to be able to do that. So that's why I was wearing a couple different shirts in some of the photos. But
you know who probably caused one of the biggest messes, just knowing him, but had the worst job of all, is Danny. Because Danny's probably the one pouring a lot of it, but then he's like, oh, I gotta clean all this up now. I gotta wash all these clothes.
that had to be like one of the most repulsive loads of laundry.
Oh, I bet the
but
bag.
Also the and best
because it goes in a bag too. They're not doing it there.
No,
it's going. So it's gotta smell bad. It's going in a wet bag. Yeah. Cincy. No, I mean you probably just got new shirts though.
Yeah. Keep those shirts. Keep those October shirts.
Yeah.
I was looking through our photos on the marquee side, and there was a picture of a guy with a hat on sideways. And I was like, who is this? And I was like, oh, it's Danny Mueller. Just
that
hanging
checks
out.
Yeah. That checks out.
He was just heading out to the field for the on-field celebration. It was really cool to see you guys do that. And I know how much it meant to you. And it had to be kind of cool to do it in Pittsburgh as well. You know, a little extra meaning for you there as well, especially after the week you had kind of that homecoming. So it was a real kind of special few days for you there.
Was your mom there?
My mom was not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not there. She was at a wedding, actually. She didn't make it, but it was a really cool few days in Pittsburgh, be able to do the stuff with my high school and then have that happen. Tough to beat.
Really, and you hit a homer too. You and Moises back to back.
That was a bomb you hit. And then Moises kind of went up to you a little bit. I don't know the numbers on who's went further, but his might have went a little further.
Yeah, his was 113 ball.
Oof. Missed.
I was about to say, not to get all Zach Short on you here, but God, do I love watching Moises Ballesteros swing. Just a real nice swing. And some of those balls he hits, the little backsiders, I really like. He's been fun to watch.
He's a good hitter.
That almost, don't go Zach Short on us, because he's going to start talking about like mechanics of it.
I almost sent Moises a swing to Zach and was like, can you just send a breakdown for the pod? But I know it's last week of minor league baseball, so I was like, we gotta give.
Yeah, he's probably like, I'm over it right now.
Yeah.
Should we talk? Well, first, Ian, what gloves will you be wearing? Should really everyone be wearing when it comes to the postseason to give their team the best chance to win it all?
Everybody knows Bruce Bolts are the official glove of the postseason. I'm wearing them. I'll have them. Hap Signature Series, you know me. Been rocking the baby blues a lot lately. Got the baby blues. You got the elephant print. You got the white with the baby blue. BruceBolt.us. We're going to go to BruceBolt.us. You know, anybody who's about to start their off season, maybe mix in a golf glove or two, but BruceBolt.us for the best gloves in the game. BruceBolt.us. Use this code isn't, at checkout.
We're not getting away from baseball. But just quick story. Wore my Bruce Bolt golf glove on Saturday. Tied my career best, 83, on 18. Was on the green, a little wayward drive, had to punch out on the green in three, had to two putt for best score ever, and I three putted. So that was tough, but we tied the career best of an 83.
I was going to ask you, did you know what you needed? Because that I'm the opposite. I don't like to know, because then I do exactly that, where you're like, all I got to do is just two putt it. And then 1-3 putt later, you're like, I should have known I needed to two putt it.
I left both putts. I left the first putt 8 feet short, and I left the 8-footer to break it like 2 feet short. And I was like, I've never been more mad at shooting an 83 in my entire life.
Wow.
It was tough, but it happened.
Good playing, though. Good playing, though, in that Bruce Bolt.
Kind of swinging it a little bit.
83 is nice.
Oh, I can kind of swing it. I can kind of swing it now. So the Tigers are trying to blow their division, huh? Pretty crazy. I didn't know where else to start. I was like, it is insane that it's back to a race, though, in the AL Central. And they're playing each other. They have three games in Cleveland, one game up on the Guardians. That's what you root for, like, end of September. And the Guardians are in a wild card race, tied with Houston right now for the third one. They have the tiebreaker. So it's going to be crazy in the AL. And the Red Sox are only one up of them. We'd love to see them out of there, right, Tom?
Bye-bye, Red Sox.
That's your dream. But the thing is, if the Red Sox are out, that means Astros are in. I would kind of rather have the Red Sox in.
Yeah, because we'll beat the Red Sox.
Famously,
we can't beat the Astros in the playoffs.
I'd like to retract, because that'll make one of our friends mad. I'd like for Zach Short to get a playoff share. So just kidding, Astros in. But I take it back.
It is crazy. There's the AL right now. Seattle has a three-game lead.
Well, they just went to Houston and swept them to get that three-game lead, because they went in tied up. Sorry to cut you off.
Three-game lead on the Astros. Seattle's got a three-game lead. You got Detroit and Cleveland. Detroit's up one game. They're 1-9 in their last 10, and they've lost six in a row, while Cleveland's 9-1 in their last 10. So, and they're about to play each other. That's going to be bananas.
Crazy.
And then in the NL,
AL East. Blue Jays are only two games up on the Yankees right now. So that's not over either.
It's not over.
Isn't quite playoff related, but very interesting. Do you know where Cal Raleigh's playing this next week? He's got 58 homers. He's going to Coors Field.
Ooh.
The AL MVP right now, very much up for grabs. I think it's maybe slightly towards Judge right now, if you had to guess. But if Cal Raleigh, who's been red hot as of late, uses the launching pad that is Coors Field and hits another couple homers and gets to 60, 61, 62, God forbid he gets to 63, I think he just has to be the MVP then. And I'm number one Aaron Judge fan on the planet. But like, if he gets 63 homers as a catcher playing 125 games behind the plate, I don't think he could lose the MVP.
What's crazy is whichever one of them wins the MVP, the second place guy is going to have probably the best season ever to not win MVP. Like, whoever doesn't get it, it's like, well, like, I wish you could just do co-MVPs. Like, both of them have had unbelievable seasons, and their teams obviously wouldn't be where they are without them.
That's the thing, too, is they both have the team success element, too, because that's kind of the thing sometimes that could use to tie-break it, but both teams are going to make the playoffs. Both teams are really good, and I actually, if you put a gun to my head, I think I would vote for Raleigh.
I would vote for Raleigh, too. I think it's cool. I think it's cool that he's a catcher and he's doing this.
But also, is there some of that just because sometimes we get bored with the same guy winning the MVP? You know,
absolutely.
LeBron only has four MVPs, even though obviously he's been the best player in the NBA more than four times. So there is, like, people get tired of voting for the same guy.
That's honestly what went into my head, is I was like, does Judge need another one? Let's give Cal Raleigh one. And he deserves it. Like, not they both deserve it, but it's like, let's get Cal Raleigh one. Like, he's a cool story.
It's interesting because the NL or the AL MVP race here, if you go by the war metric,
the old war machine,
Judge has a 9.2 F war. Cal Raleigh has an 8.8 F war. That's close. That's a close enough margin where, like, could go either way. But on the B war side of things, Judge has a 9 and Cal Raleigh has a 6.9.
We're down in the analytics there. I think it's more of a feel thing.
I mean, Judge is hitting 330, and that's despite the fact that he missed some time, and he had a stretch where he looked like he couldn't hit the baseball for a while. I mean,
326, stop swaying the votes, please. Thank you. don't try to juice up his stats. He's also only at 49 homers, not 50. If you were going to say 50, I was going to call you on it.
Do you think that all the voters are listening to this podcast?
They are. I don't think so.
Any ability to sway voters.
You know what? We're in the media. Why don't you and me have a vote, Tom? I know Ian can't, but why don't we get a vote? You know who my vote's for? IH8.
In the American League MVP?
Thanks, man.
Both of them. I'll write him in for Cy Young. I don't care. That's probably why I don't have a vote. I'm extremely biased.
We should take a look at the NL playoff picture, because the Mets, oh, if I was a Mets fan right now, I'd be so angry at the Cubs. Got swept in Cincinnati, allowed Cincinnati to take the lead. And now you know that the Cubs are probably going to, you know, you'd feel like the Cubs are going to come back here and take a couple games. Tough for the Mets, who have, I mean, they've also, to be fair, done it to themselves and have played themselves out of the playoff spot here. But it is wild in the NL wild card down at the bottom.
It's tough for the Mets because they go to Chicago, like you said, and the Reds play at home against Pittsburgh, which you would like to think is at least three games will have a chance. I don't know if one of those is a Skeens day, but like it's It's close. I don't know. I lean Reds just because Cubbies are going to go sweep the Mets. Of course, I would never say the Cubs are going to lose. And then the Reds are going to take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates. Ian, care to comment? It's a good battle.
It's going to be a really good battle. I'm looking at the standings right now. Arizona's sneaky, only one game back.
That's crazy. They literally, they're like the Tigers of last year, but more extreme of like they sold and then they just like kept winning games and they're like still right in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati's got a lot of momentum. They've won 5 in a row. You know, they're sitting in that last spot. You know, then you have the Mets and the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks have to play the Dodgers. I think since he finishes in Milwaukee.
They do. They do.
So I don't know. It's going to come right down to the last day, which is everything you could ask for if you're a baseball fan.
Also, just a quick shout out to the Miami Marlins, because I mean this in the nicest way. If you like beginning of the year and even today, like if you look at like their roster and lineup, you wouldn't think like they're 4 games out. Like they're still technically in it. That's impressive. Like to just keep battling and grinding. Like they play the Mets the Mets finish at Miami. Like that's not 3 easy games that they're trying to win to get into the playoffs.
True.
So the best time to play a team is sometimes right after they're eliminated, and the Marlins probably will be have just been eliminated when the Mets go to play them. Not True. The worst time to see a team when it's like the last 3 games and you've just been eliminated.
I do agree, but they're so young that it may not even.
Yeah, they're just playing.
Yeah, like they're just out there playing. Like
they're a young team.
Yeah. So it'll be like you said, Ian. This is all you could ask for as a baseball fan. These last like couple, this last week, the last couple series. Like it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, and being in that position the last couple of years of like needing things to happen and being a little bit on the outside looking in, it's nice to not be in that spot.
For sure, it's good to have that. Now let's go clinch home field. You know, let's go win a couple games.
You said it. You said it. We had a little bit of a lead on the Padres right now. Obviously losing 4 in a row, not great. But yeah, we got 6 left. Couple good series, Mets and St. Louis. And so, you know, just looking to get it all right for this last week and win a few games. You know, that's I think the hardest part of clinching early is that you have this like emotional high and then it's back to like regular season baseball. And mm-hmm. So, you know, being really just on your process and hey, like we still got meaningful baseball games to play and like let's go do it, let's go keep this thing rolling. You know, JT said it really well a few weeks ago, you don't just flip the switch when you get to the playoffs. Like you got to be going all the way to the end. And so, you know, we got a chance to do that. We got a chance to play some meaningful games this week and really shore up the home field thing for that first series. And so, you know, that part of it I think is pretty important.
Are you guys believers in momentum going to the playoffs? Like how much do you think that matters?
I think it does. Yeah. I think it's important. I think, you know, I think things do change when you get to the playoffs. I think they're just like from a player perspective, like regular season baseball versus like playoff baseball is different. But I think that if you're scuffling and you have that vibe as a team that you're scuffling, like it's not a fun place to be in going into the playoffs, where if you're beaten up on teams, it feels really good. I just know in 18, like when we kind of down the stretch lost the lead of the division, lost game 163, like that wild card game felt like the world was on top of us a little bit. Whereas like in 17, I felt like we were just beaten up on teams the second half, and going into the playoffs felt like I felt like we were on top of the world.
I think it's also a little bit of like, is it the chicken or the egg? Like if the team's winning, obviously that means the players are playing well. So, like, I think it's a lot of individual stuff for the momentum-wise. Like, if a guy's swinging it leading into the postseason, like, he's going to feel good going into it. But, like, the next guy in the order might not be swinging it and not be feeling great going into the postseason. And, again, like, that leads to wins and losses leading into it all. But I think that's a big factor, is, like, how is each guy feeling with their swing, with their pitch arsenal, whatever it may be.
I would say this, though. I believe in momentum, and obviously you want to play well going into the playoffs, but if I was like a Brewers fan, I would be concerned that we've already seen the best that they can do. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that they could possibly match that stretch they had earlier in the year, and that would worry me if I was a Brewers fan, where I'd be like, I just don't love the vibes.
Two things.
That is such a fan perspective.
I was going to say, no, two things. First, You got to love that Tom's now on the Cubs side. Like, this is like his Yankee versus Red Sox talk of like just talking down on him. But two, again, nope, there's no way any Brewers guys are listening to this, but what bulletin board material if they go on a run now? Like, this guy said, no way we could play this good anymore.
They went like 31-3. I don't think they're going to go 31-3 in the playoffs. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
No, it's not. I just love it because I've seen you do that with the Yankees in the past, and now that you're in Chicago, I love seeing you do it with the Cubbies.
We're all in the 2025 Cubbies.
All in. Oh, let's do the playoff rosters.
We want to get to playoff roster. I want to hit one more topic before we hit the playoff roster. Okay. Clayton Kershaw announced his retirement at the end of this season. I mean, probably the greatest pitcher I've gotten the chance to watch of his entire career, I would say. Really interesting narrative about his career. We can talk about some of the playoff stuff if you guys want to, but I think for first, we should just say, for me, the best pitcher I've gotten to see on a consistent basis.
You have his jersey, right, Ian? Isn't he one of, or no, Scott. Scott has a Clayton Kershaw jersey. Scott, like, right, signed from Kershaw. That's really cool one. He has it like hung up in his basement. I was like, that's a really cool one to have. But yeah, his career, I mean, I was trying to think, Tom, when you said like probably the best guy you've gotten to watch, I'm trying to think if I can think of, I would have to agree. Like, I can't put anyone above that. Like, there were stretches of other guys like Mad Bum in the postseason, but I'm like, over the course of a whole career, like, Clayton Kershaw is maybe the best pitcher we've ever watched. And it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, I think just like from a career perspective, like, obviously guaranteed Hall of Famer, but you just look at like what he's been able to accomplish, the All-Star games, Cy Youngs, multiples, two Cy Youngs,
and three MVP, Cy Youngs,
three Cy Youngs and MVP,
11 titles.
The amount of time he's played, like, and he's still really good. Like, he could keep going, and he's decided that, like, hey, this is it. I'm going to be with my family. Like, a lot of respect of just like what he's been able to do. Probably the guy for me that like they wouldn't even let me face him anymore because I struggled against him so much. It's like 0-9 with 7 punch outs. Like, he's,
well, let's get the Cubbies matched up with the Dodgers in the postseason then. Let's get you one before he calls it a career
one more time. But yeah, just like pretty epic career. I think all the guys that I've ever played with that have played with him, just the amount of respect they have for him, guys across the field, the amount of respect. You know, I saw Wainwright saying that there's one guy that he wanted to play with in his career. It was Clayton. Like, I think he's just the ultimate example of kind of that old school mentality of taking the ball, being out there, being available, and just the sheer dominance of like his career ERA is a joke.
2.54.
That's crazy. That's,
can
so
I read
impressive.
You his 2013 season?
Please
in 2013, at the age of 25, he goes 16-9 with a 1.83 ERA and 33 starts, throws three complete games, two of which were shutouts. That's 236 innings. He struck out 239 and walked 31.
You know, the funniest part about that stat is the first guy that popped in my head is 16-9 with a 1.8. I go, is that Paul Skeens? Are you reading me Paul Skeens stats?
He doesn't even have that many wins.
No, that's the craziest part is like a 1.8 where the dot, they must not have been great that year, but that few of walks and that many innings is like so hard to do no matter how good of control you have as a pitcher.
31 walks and 236 innings.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you go up there as a batter and you're like, I have to swing. He's not going to walk me.
And that year he finished 7th in the MVP. The following year he went 21-3 with a 1.77 and won the MVP with 6 complete games.
Is that any good?
If I could say the one thing that like be the when you think about his legacy in the playoffs is not very good. And that is like the kind of the one mark you'd have against him. Probably the greatest regular season pitcher I ever got to see pitch, but he threw 194 innings in the playoffs and has an ERA close to 5.
Let's not try and wind him up before his last run, though, Tom. We don't need him.
I know you guys don't want me to go negative, but it is like it's part of the narrative with him.
We're a fluff podcast. We don't always tell the truth. We fluff. But no, you are absolutely right.
We always tell the truth as we fluff.
Yes, you are absolutely right, though, Tom. That is like one. That's his only like red mark on his file as like a player. Is like in the postseason, he was known to not be as good.
And he has 2 World Series rings.
He does have the World Series, and I think that's what I was literally about to say. He's got the career 4.49 in the playoffs, which obviously is not very good. He's had his individual moments of brilliance, and it does feel like weirdly I link him and LeBron sometimes together just because of their longevity and how good they were at their peaks. Both won championships in 2020. But because of the circumstances around those championships in 2020, where obviously nothing was normal, and especially for baseball, shortened season, weird.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Weird playoffs in a neutral site. He was actually really, really good during those playoffs, but it feels like maybe that was a little bit lost to time because that season is so bizarre. Whereas if that had been a more normal, if that was 2019 instead of 2020, I do think that would have maybe affected his playoff legacy a little bit more because he was, you know, you go look at that 2020, he pitched twice in that World Series in a 2-3-1 and won both of his starts against the Rays. So like, that probably was the coming out moment for him, but he didn't quite get the coronation you would have hoped because of the circumstances.
Yeah, and he, you know, in the wild card game that year against Milwaukee, he went 8 innings, gave up 3 hits, no runs.
Struck out 13 in that game.
Yeah, struck out 13. Just struck out 14 and 11 and 2/3 in the World Series. Like, yeah, I mean, he's a big part of that team and doing that. And like, I don't know, he's a legend, man.
He is.
He was good against us in 17, tell you that.
Really interesting career, and one that I'm sure we'll probably get to talk about a little bit more when it's over, but just wanted to shout that out. All right, we've been teasing it. Dakota, I asked Dakota yesterday, I texted him and said, could you put together a 26-man roster for the Cubs playoffs? Because next time we put out an episode, it'll be likely game one or game two of that wild card series, so people will have already be into the playoffs. So this is our last pre-playoff episode. Dakota, you want to run us through? I think you and I probably have the same 19 guys, I would say, to start with. So we'll run through those.
Then sure.
Start walking down some of the other guys.
I'll just start with like the starting nine of IHA, PCA, Tucker, Shaw, Dansby, Nico, Bush, Kelly behind the plate, Seiya DH. That's my like nine, I think, is pretty locked in stone, set in stone. I just love this because Ian went on mute because he obviously can't comment. So it's just funny that I looked up and saw he was on mute. But continuing on, I would say those 10 people were like the only guarantees, or like the people where it was like, yes, they're definitely here. Like there's, I think Willie's on the bench for sure. Let's just go through position players. Then we'll do pitchers. Does that work? Yeah. I got Willie on my bench.
Yep.
I got Miggy Amaya on my bench. Assuming he's back, he's playing in Iowa right now.
Yeah, I think I told you I had backup catcher because I wasn't 100% sure if it would be McGuire or Amaya. But obviously, if Amaya is ready to go and he has been playing in Iowa, you'd think he'd probably be the guy.
Same. That's what I have. And then we both have Ballesteros / whoever we put on the bench.
Yeah.
I have JT on my bench.
Yep.
I went a lot of bats. I have Santana on my bench.
This is the one spot where we disagreed. I did not have Santana on my bench. I kind of felt like they were going to pick one of Turner or Santana. But what people have to keep in mind is this is a 3-game set to start the wild card round. Then you're allowed to update your roster for the 5-game divisional round. So there is a chance, I think, maybe that both Santana and JT are on this 3-man roster. And then for the 5-game roster, maybe one of them comes off. And I would lean towards that Santana.
I agree. I like that call. I also have, I went 15 position players, 11 pitchers for my roster. So I also have Jaguar on the bench as a pinch runner. Defense, I mean, the defense is great in the outfield, but just like as a pinch runner, essentially.
Well, especially if Seiya starts in right field, if Kyle Tucker's not able to play right field, like even if he comes back and is maybe limited to a DH role or something, you would definitely want Jaguar on that bench to come be able to come off and play right field. Honestly, yes. Tough break for Owen Casey with the concussion, because it does feel like if he was not concussed, he would be someone who would be around that bench for me, but obviously don't think he's going to be available.
I think I would agree he'd be around the bench, but I do like having Alcantara as a pinch runner because you said
Yes.
that before we started. And I was like, that's a good point because no offense to the other bench guys, but Willie, decent speed. Willie, pretty good speed. But like the other
Billy's your other
four,
runner. Yeah.
yeah, the other four, you're probably pinch running four, not having them pinch run. So having him on the bench to like late in game scenarios, like Carson Kelly hits a single, like you're probably going to have him pinch run and then Miggy goes behind the plate. So I like that. Do you have that many people on your bench as well?
I have one less because
You have no
I don't
Santana.
have the Santana spot. So that spot just that went to pitching for me.
Okay,
I
fair.
also want to just point out very quickly, the Cubs did sign on August 31st Billy Hamilton. I'm not going to go into the crazy process where they could try to get him on the roster. I spent a lot of time looking into it. It's very unlikely, but I do want to just call out that there is a, I would say, 3 to 5% possibility at some point in these playoffs, Billy Hamilton emerges as a pinch runner in that Jaguar role, and I would love that so much
That
if he's
would be
playing in
awesome.
IL.
I saw that and I would agree. Like he would just take the Jaguar role if that is to happen. Like he would be your pinch runner.
Yes, but he will because he was not on the 40-man roster on the 31st. There's a complicated like appeal process they have to do, so it seems very unlikely that's going to happen. But I did just want to shout out because like one of my favorite all-time baseball players, Billy Hamilton, would love to see him on the 2025 Cubs.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
All right, starting rotation now. Yeah, this
Yes.
is a big cat. This is a big question.
And again, three-man rotation. We talked a little before. I think we're in lockstep here. I personally want Cade Horton game one. I think he's
Same.
been the best pitcher by far on, or like definitely on the Cubs in the second half, but maybe in all of baseball in the second half of the season. So I like Cade Horton definitely starting either game one or two. And then I have Matthew Boyd and Shota as my other two starters.
Yeah, so I had Horton as well for game one. I had Shota going game two, and then Boyd in a potential game three. We should also note all three of these games, if the Cubs were to clinch home field, would be at Wrigley Field. There's no travel in this series.
Which
And
is
they're on three
nice.
consecutive days, which is
Yeah.
important when we talk about pitching because some guys like Daniel Palencia, who's coming off the IL, who I'm assuming is on both of our rosters, assuming that he is healthy, might be used three consecutive days. I'm sure if, as you know, as a former reliever, you're going down to Skip and saying, "Hey, I'm available."
I think a combination of Brad Keller, Caleb Theobald, and Daniel Palencia will, and Kittredge, like they'll be throwing possibly every single game. And it's again, like you said, it's one of those where you go to counts, you go, I'm good. I don't even think he asks. He's like, it's playoffs. Like, you guys are good.
Let's just go. So Keller, Palencia, Kittredge, all on the roster. Theobar, I would assume, is on both of our rosters.
Yes.
We talked a little bit beforehand, so I think we both also have the other two lefties in Pomerantz and Rogers on the roster as well.
I made one switch from the
Oh.
time we started to now. I took out Rodgers and put in Savali.
Wow.
I put
Wait,
in
this is
Savali for
crazy.
because I thought in my head, Kittredge and Pomerantz, that's already two lefties, and you're starting two lefties, two of the games. I was like, I don't know if I see a world where you need another lefty in your bullpen. And no knock on Rodgers, but I think Pomerantz and or I think Thielbar is your first lefty you're going to. Pomerantz is your second, Rodgers is your third. So I'm like, if we get to Rodgers, things already probably went wrong to where we're losing, and it's like, well, let's throw someone that can eat some innings with Savali.
This is a big question of where the lane for each guy. This is something they talk about out of the bullpen, the lanes for different guys. I think that's a fair point about Rodgers. I don't know 100% what his lane is, but it feels like if you trade for that type of pitcher at the deadline, and he's pitched
Yeah.
okay, he hasn't been amazing, he hasn't been terrible. I think he's done enough to make the roster for me. But again, three game series, you have a fair point that maybe they try to go with a little bit more length.
You also went one more bullpen arm than me, which kind of made it, I had to get a little more cutthroat in the bullpen of like, who do we need and who is like kind of like just an extra piece that's not really necessary. So I kind of went a different route, but I'm guessing, do you also have Savali?
I do not have Savali.
Ooh, all right, give me your next guy.
Okay, so I think let's just name the guys that are potentially going for these last couple spots here. I think Javier Assad is in this group. I think Jameson Taillon is in this group. I think Ryan Brazier, who's coming off the injured list, is in this group. I also think Colin Ray is in this group. And then
Soroka.
we have also Michael Soroka and Aaron Savali. I think all these, that's what, six guys? I think we have two to three roster spots for them.
I think the two I have are different than your three. I don't think you have any of my two, either of my two.
Okay, tell me who you got.
I have Colin Ray and Soroka. Soroka, since he came, Colin Ray is my guy. Love C. Ray. He's thrown out of the bullpen in the past. I think he's comfortable throwing out of the bullpen. We also talked about should the Cubs, we're not going to say the alternative, but should the Cubs go up 10-0 in the fifth inning and whoever's starting like gets through six innings, Colin Ray is someone that can come throw 7, 8, 9, you save the rest of your bullpen. So is Savali. And like there's a couple, like Javier Assad could also do that. I like Colin Ray for the experience. Again, that's kind of a bias pick by me. He's thrown really well lately. His last start, as we talked about, 7 innings, 11 Ks. So I have Colin Ray on there, and then I went with Soroka based on the increased velocity since he came off the IL. Curveballs looked really good. I think he's looked good enough to where he could be a bridge guy. I like having Soroka down there with how he's looked since his IL stint.
Let's start with this. Neither you or I have Jameson Taillon on this roster, which I think is a pretty surprising move, and I think is unlikely to happen. I think he's probably going to be on the roster if you ask me what I think the Cubs are going to do. This is our own what we would be doing if we were managing.
And that's not an indictment on Jameson Taillon from either of us.
No, then that's why I wanted to say that, because we both really think Jameson Taillon's a great pitcher, but no experience coming out of the bullpen.
Three-game series.
And it's a three-game series, and he's likely going to start. He's definitely on my divisional roster.
He's my game four starter in the divisional round, for sure.
Yes. But he would not be making this playoff roster for me right now in a three-game series, which is pretty crazy to say.
I agree. It's like you said, with no bullpen experience to speak, like, I don't know if he ever has. It's not as easy as some people may think to be like, oh, like, it's fine. Like, he just does, like, a little different routine. Like, it's so different coming out of the bullpen versus starting a game when that's all you've done your whole career. So I don't know if like the postseason is the time to be like, well, let's see how it goes. And again, he could eat innings the way like Colin Ray or Savali could, but those guys have the experience doing it. And again, if those guys are eating innings, it's probably a lopsided victory one way or the other. So why even use Taillon in that role would be my argument.
Taillon also, you would agree with this, I think. If you're going to come out of the bullpen for basically the first time in your career, he has to come into a clean inning, right? He's not going to come in with runners on base. So now you're really limiting. You're talking about this is a bulk guy who can only come into a clean inning. That, to me, is pretty limiting. And I feel like you have other guys that can do that similar thing but be a little bit more versatile. And the first guy that I'm going to put on my roster is Javier Assad.
The Tijuana Tucson.
I've been impressed with the way he's been pitching. I like his ability out of the flexibility out of the pen and the starting rotation. That's who I have in that one spot. You actually just talked me out of Colin Ray. I initially had Colin Ray, but I'm now going to Michael Soroka. You talked me
so
out
I
of
I talked
Colin
you
Ray.
Into Soroka, not out of Colin Ray.
Mm.
No!
You did talk me into Soroka. You did talk. I like what Soroka brings, and I do think he has that fastball velocity, I think, is important. And I do think could be something that if you needed him to go short, I just don't see a situation where Colin Ray goes for a couple batters. You know, if Colin Ray comes in, it feels like a situation where he's going to be a bulk guy. Soroka, I can see them going to for a couple outs.
I also think Soroka, and again, not a knock on Colin Ray, has more swing and miss in his arsenal than Colin Ray, which is something in the postseason you really want, obviously. So I do see your argument of like, if you want a guy to go throw one inning, it's probably Soroka over Colin Ray. Like, I think Colin Ray is your like, hey, starter struggling. He's got to come in the third and he's going to hopefully give you like finish the third, 4, 5, 6, like three plus innings. So I see your point there.
And then my last guy is Ryan Brazier. I mean, it will be interesting to see. He's pretty much going to audition for a spot on the roster this week. He's going to probably make, I think, probably at least two, if not more, appearances. And they're going to see what he has. I think a lot of it will determine how well he pitches this week. But for me, he's done enough to be eligible for that spot. And I think he's going to take it this week. But it's a real – there's a lot of question marks around the fringes of this team.
The Brazier one's just so weird to me because I feel like – he can't have that many innings this year, right? I feel like I haven't seen him throw like at all. That's why I'm just like, I don't know if I can bank on that. Not that I've seen Soroka throw, but I put him in there.
26 innings, which is, I agree with you. I feel like he hasn't thrown that much, but then when I really looked at the numbers, he's actually thrown more than I remembered.
Yeah, I would have guessed like 10 innings would have been my guess. But either way, I think the bullpen will be the most interesting thing to see how they go about it. and just like how many pitchers versus position players they choose to have. Like we said, in a 3-game series, you can afford to go bigger bench, smaller bullpen, because like you're going to use your guys when it's crunch time anyway. So like you don't need 8 like close game arms. Like it's going to be, if it's that close of a game, your starter's probably going 5 or 6 anyway. So you only need to cover 3-4 innings, and that's just going to be like your horses. So I'm very curious to see who they go with, because there's a lot, like I told you before we started, there was a lot of guys where I was like, it could be this guy, but it also could be this guy or this guy or this guy.
It'd be very interesting to see how they handle it in the clubhouse as well. I mean, there's a lot of guys that may be on this roster that may not be on the next roster. You know, like it's going to be an evolving thing throughout these playoffs. And it'll be interesting to see how Craig Counsell uses that bullpen and who he turns to. I think I agree with you. It's going to probably be a lot of the same guys. For as much as we're talking about guys 25, 26 on this roster, ultimately it's probably going to come down to how does Palencia look? How does Kittredge look? You know, it's going to be up to those top couple guys in the big moments to get the big outs.
I would bet the house, if this thing even goes 3 and the Cubs don't just win 10-0, which they probably will anyway, whatever. I would bet the house on Keller and Thielbar throwing all 3 games. I would say those two will pitch in every single game. I feel confident in that.
I think that's pretty, I think 100% Thielbar. I just think Thielbar is like the first guy out of the pen in almost every situation.
Especially on the day Horton starts, because they're going to load the lineup with lefties and it's going to be like, well, Thielbar go in there. They'll pinch hit, but like they got Merrill and Arise coming up this inning. Like you're going to get those two and Machado probably in between them, but that's just is what it is. But yes, I do think Thielbar will be, I would love to see Cade Horton game 1. I think it will be Matt Boyd, but I'd love to see Cade Horton. And then I see Thielbar coming in and like 2 outs in the 6th, gets a lefty and then goes and throws the 7th, 1-2-3. Brad Keller comes in the 8th, 1-2-3, 3 punchies. Palencia comes in, ends the game with 103 at the top of the zone, swing and miss. Cubbies up 1-0. And IHA hit 2 homers that game, no big deal. And 3 diving catches.
Hey, you know who's got the last Cubs postseason homer?
Is it IHA? Ian, welcome back. Ian, welcome back. Good to see you.
Did you enjoy listening to the podcast, Ian?
It was great, man. That was awesome. I enjoyed it. I got some work done.
We did say that when Tom proposed this, we were like, well, obviously Ian can't contribute to this at all, because there's no way to say like, oh, this guy should or this guy shouldn't when they're your teammates. So it was kind of more, it had to be just Tom and I.
I'm glad you guys had fun doing it.
Yeah. Hey, we said you made the team. You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
We have you both on the roster.
I know. To be determined, but we have you on there. We'll see what Counts decides, but we feel good about it.
Listen, if we need to make a call to Jed to try to make sure that you're getting on the roster, let us know. We're happy to do it.
Oh. I was actually just thinking when you guys were talking, I was like, I wonder how much their discussion there was in 17. It's like, I didn't start very much.
Yeah.
I pinch hit a lot, but I didn't start in very many games in 17. I wonder if there was any discussion if I was going to make that roster or not.
Well, and Ian, the only thing I'd say you can speak on is like Tom and I mentioned it, 3-game series versus a 5-game series, like that changes your roster construction of how many arms and how many bats on the bench. And like you said, like you've been in a position where it's like you could be left off, but then back on the roster for the next one. So it like mentality wise, that can be tough for some guys to be like you're not going to, obviously if you're not on the roster, you're not going to be happy. Like no one as a competitor is going to be happy to not be a part of it, but you have to also stay locked in and be like, well, in 4 days time, they're going to need me to go out there and like be a part of this team.
Yeah, it's definitely tough for the starting pitchers because you're only going to carry 3. You know, there's a chance that some of those guys end up in the pen, but like it is different for a 3-game set where they carry the guys that are going to start and kind of rely more on the bullpen. You know, their position player thing on just how many of those guys get carried and how they plan on using them is interesting.
It's a big factor for the bench of like, it's not so much just like, oh, like this guy, like he's good on the bench, but it's like, the situation of like, all right, like if we pinch hit Justin Turner, he can play first base because if he hits for Bush, because a lefty comes in. But then if Turner's coming up later in the game, all right, we have Santana to pinch hit for him, or like whatever, like Ballesteros to pinch hit for him, and then Santana can go to first. Like that's where the tough decisions comes in of like Counts and the staff need to obviously think through all those things, which obviously they are. But there is a lot more that goes into it than just like, oh, like we think this guy should be on the roster.
Yeah,
that's where having Willy Castro is huge, because he's the
for
one
sure.
That, like, where I think sometimes I say it's not like MLB the Show, where we talk about, like, it's not like you can just go put Tyone in the bullpen and it's like MLB the Show, where it's like, oh, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Willy Castro is the one guy where it's like, you could just go plug and play him wherever he wants and he's going to be fine. And having a guy like that on your postseason roster is so valuable that he can go play second base, he can go play right field, he can go pinch run, he can go pinch hit, he can do whatever you need.
Also, Ian, last thing, close your ears. Tom, I will say also, I think it's either or of Miggy or Reese McGuire. I don't think it'd be beneficial to carry all three of those catchers.
I would agree, especially in a three-game series. I don't really think even in a five or a seven, it's still unlikely. And that's tough for Reese McGuire, who I think has been a really good Cub this year. And I think
has
really, like, that was actually one of the biggest decisions they made roster-wise the entire year, was not DFAing Reese McGuire when they called up Miggy, because then obviously Miggy immediately got hurt again. So having Reese there was huge. Very valuable Cub, but just, yeah, I don't think there's really a need for a third catcher and play a playoff roster.
I also believe either Miggy, I forget which one, I think Miggy's a reverse splits guy. Ian, is that correct?
Miggy hits righties better than lefties.
Miggy hits righties. That's what I thought. So for like
also because points. Technically Ballesteros is hypothetically your emergency catcher. He's caught in Iowa this year. He would be your emergency catcher.
I heard IHH's been taking some balls behind the dish.
That's what I'm gonna use my for when I call up Jed. I'm like, hey, we gotta get IHA in the roster. I'm like,
You're gonna call up Jed and say we need Brujan back, emergency catcher.
We did. We pinch ran for Reese in Cincy, I think late in the game, and Moises was, you know, he had all of his gear, he was ready to go in case something happened to Carson.
Love that. I feel like Ian's bummed out he wasn't able to talk to us for a little while.
That was great. I enjoyed every second of it. It's a good app, guys. Well done. Really good stuff. Thanks for you know, carrying that one. Can't wait. Love it. Let's get the people the screen time. Sun, world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems at the forefront of the green building movement. You are in the market for faucets, flushing meters, sink systems, Sloan Valve.
We're doing today. Sundays don't count. We're doing today.
Over under 12 for you yesterday. Just to answer that.
Just barely under.
Okay. That's a win for you.
But just barely, at like 11:41 yesterday.
I got 4:10.
Today?
Yeah.
What's Ian's?
2:13 for me.
No! Dang it. I almost came out of nowhere. 2:41 today. Oh,
man.
I'm an hour ahead. People forget. I'm an hour ahead of you.
Should just basically be a win.
That's what I wanted today. I was like, that's actually pretty good. Like, I was driving today. I made sure I'd lock my phone, like no map showing or anything. I was like, I can't get this up. I got to keep it down. Oh, what a run from the kid out of nowhere.
I did see someone tweet us and say that what Ian should start doing is, because we're just not competition for him, comparing his screen time to the game time of the game that on the day we record.
Mm.
I think it's not a bad idea. Obviously, today wouldn't work because there's no game, but could use yesterday's game. I don't know how long it was, but more or less than Ian's screen time. Could be a new game.
It might have been less. It was a 1-0 game.
That is episode 277 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parse, send us a photo. We will see you.
Real quick.
Yep. Oh.
What was your screen time?
2:13.
Yesterday's game time? 2:13.
Oh. Right on it. We like that. We'll do it next week. We'll do it next week. We will see you next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.